Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Well, good morning, Fairhaven. It is good to be with you today and to serve underneath your pastors and to be able to join in this series called Life to the Full and to talk about what that means for us individually in our lives. I would love you just to pause a moment and say, Lord, whatever you would say to me in this little simple message, I will seek to listen and I will seek to obey. I, like you, love seeing these young men. I was just thinking about these young men on stage today, so proud of them and their profession of Christ as their Lord and Savior, and just thinking of the three Hebrew boys, likely between the ages of 13 and 15, maybe up to 20, we don't know for sure, but these three young men represent faith and what we've seen in God's Word of those who stood in faith. So proud of you guys, and pray this message will connect with your heart as well. What does it even mean? So I want to start the message by simply saying to you, what does that mean? Life to the full. John 10:10, where Jesus said, I've come to give you life and to give you life abundantly to the full. What does that mean? Like, what do you hear? If you're here and you are 13, 14, 15, if I said to you, hey, I just want to tell you something. In the next 20, 30 years, you're going to have life to the full. What do you hear? Do you go, oh man, I'm gonna crank it out with a nice car. My job is gonna be unbelievable. What does it mean? Does it mean my schedule's full? Does it mean that you literally all day long you're gonna be busy? Yeah. Well, all those things I just said to you, I've met people who have all those things, and their lives are honestly pretty empty. So I think we got to first go, what does it mean to have life to the full? What does that even say to our hearts and souls? I want to read to you something. I was driving over here this morning. The Lord just laid this thought on my heart. Wasn't even part of the message. So this is kind of a little add-on. So I'm driving over here this morning thinking about what does life to the full mean? And where does Scripture talk about it? And actually, I want to read a little passage. I just brought it up on my phone. I didn't do it driving. I'd pulled over. I brought it up on my phone. I tell you that on purpose because I got pulled over this week. I was helping my daughter with something at her house, and I left her house, and I pulled my phone up, and I said, hey, Siri, where's the hardware store? Whee! I got, well, Siri's trying to answer now. And I got pulled over, and he said, did you have your phone in your hand? And I'm like, I sure did. I was telling Siri I need to know where the hardware store is. And he goes, well, you know you can't do that, right? I'm like, I didn't know that. He said, nope, hands free. You can't touch your phone. So $195 later, I don't hold my phone in my hand anymore. I just talk to it. So this morning, I talked to it. And I said, bring up Hebrews 11. And I want to read what life to the abundant looks like according to God's word. Like, I want to read to you about some people who lived the abundant life. You know them as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all those. And about, you know, halfway through that passage, it says, and what more shall I say to you? This is Hebrews 11. I don't even have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David, who by faith conquered kingdoms. Listen to this abundant life, okay? Conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised by shutting the mouth of lions, baby. Now there's some abundant life. What'd you do today? Shut some lions' mouths. Quenched the fury of the flames. Escaped the edge of the sword. There's some abundant living. Weakness was turned into strength, and they were so powerful in battle, they routed the armies. I like it. Yeah, I want the abundant life where I'm quenching things, and I'm doing this, and I'm shutting the mouths of lions. Sounds great. We love abundant living when it looks like that. Hang on. Can I read the part of Hebrews 11 we don't usually read, especially pastors? Let me read to you the second half of the abundant living people. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released from their torture so they might gain an even better resurrection, so they would have an even more abundant life. Some faced jeers and flogging. Some were chained and put in prison. There were those who were killed by stoning. There were those who were literally sawed in half. I don't know about you, but I don't hear that and go, now that sounds abundant. Sounds awful. But in our culture, in 2026, abundance means I'm loaded and I'm living the dream. And that's not what God's word teaches. It's really difficult for us to get the concept of abundant living that doesn't include comfort. And so today, I'm going to seek to, by reading you literally red words from the Bible, Jesus' words from the Bible, I'm literally going to try to show you what Jesus means by living to the full, living on full in his glory. Now, we got to set up the story and tell you how Jesus did this. So Jesus was really good at walking along with disciples or going along with people and seeing something and turning it into an illustration. And the reason he did that was because then, you know, when they passed by, they would go, oh, that's where Jesus taught that. Like I said in first service, you guys ready? I said in first service without telling them in the tech room, I said, if Jesus was here, I really think he would make an illustration out of this wall about, oh, look at all the stuff y'all can do with that. He would be like, look, watch this, red lights. And he would do it and he'd go, see, you can produce that. He would somehow turn that into a story. Then the next time y'all are in worship, you'd go, oh, I remember when Jesus talked about that. And that's what he did here. The story I'm about to read to you from John chapter 15, Pastor Greg says it's one of his favorite chapters in the Bible. In this story, Jesus is simply walking along with his disciples. His time's getting really close. He's to the very end of his days on this earth. He's going to be soon taken and going through what we just celebrated as Easter. And he's spending some final moments with his disciple, and he starts talking to him about what he's seeing. I mean, we don't know exactly where he was walking here because this was a little bit of a journey. You can read in all these passages you've been studying these last few weeks. But it's likely he was literally walking by a grapevine field. So here's a little picture of one coming up. I mean, Jesus could have literally been walking by one, and there were burn areas here where the branches were taken and burned. We're going to refer to that in the passage. You can see the foundation of the vine, where it started, the base kind of the vine, of the tree. You can see how the vine's going out. So Jesus is like, oh, I'm going to play off this, and I'm going to use an illustration that, in fact, they'll be using it for centuries. So here we are in 2026, still reading what he talked about. There was one of these carved and painted in gold on Herod's castle, a vine. So wherever he was, he must have been referring to one, looking at one, and speaking about one. And he begins to say stuff. And I got to tell y'all that when we hear this story about Jesus being the vine and we're the branches, y'all have heard that. Probably most of you, if I said, Jesus is the vine, we're the branches, you go, yep, got it. Sermon's done. Let's go to lunch. We've heard it a lot. We know the passage. What I want to tell you is this passage is so simple in what it says to us, and it's so hard to really get it. It sounds like Bible 101, but it's Bible 601. It's deep. It's hard to understand. There's two particular verses I'll highlight as I'm reading the passage that honestly are very confusing. It's why a lot of people look at the Bible, when they read these two verses, I'll point them out. When they get there, people go, see, this is why you can't read the Bible. It makes no sense. It doesn't unless you go into the deep end of studying it. If you stay shallow, and your definition of abundance is what you can get out of life, then this passage will make no sense. But if you go deep and get into the deep end of the pool, and you're willing to go down deeper with the Lord, then this passage will begin to come alive. So we're going to read it, and I'm just going to share thoughts about it as we go. Here we go. I want you to see, by the way, as I'm reading it, try to notice one particular word jumping out 11 times. The word is remain. It's the same word for abide, because we're talking today about abiding in Christ. Here we go. Jesus walking, looking at his disciples. He says to them, can you imagine? Just take the moment, picture him. He turns and says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Now remain in me, remain, there it is, as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So many times I don't think we've read this passage and actually seen that word. I read the passage and I see branches and vines and all those things. But I don't see the word remain. And this time as I read it, it just kept jumping out. The theme of this passage is abiding in the Lord. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Then this next line, this is one that's really confusing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's really confusing. We'll go back and study that in a minute. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. Maybe he was walking by a fire pit right when he said that. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I want to pause here a moment. Just leave that on the screen. That's confusing. If you remain in me and my words in you, ask whatever you want. It'll be done for you. Can I just say to all you in the room, listen, and those of you online, this verse has been so abused. Televangelists have used it to get so much money from people. Pastors have used it to scratch people's backs and make them feel comfortable and scratch an itch that's about an inch deep. I have watched pastors use this verse to basically say, hey, if you're a follower of Jesus, just ask him for whatever you want and you can get it. So shallow. Anybody in here who was taught something like that and you've gone on to live life and find out, wow, didn't work. I'm sorry you were taught such shallow teaching that really didn't give you the context of what this means. Jane and I were sitting at a wedding a while back, wedding reception. Jane will recall this. There's a man sitting by me I've never met in my life. His wife is sitting there next to him. We introduced ourselves, and I said to them, nice to be here with you. And his wife said, oh, man, I can't believe we get to sit by you guys. I'm like, what does that even mean? She's like, well, my husband really struggles with pastors. And I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? She said, well, we went to a church where their pastor taught, ask whatever you want from the Lord, and he'll do it for you. And she said, my husband had a very serious health issue and still does. And he has asked the Lord to heal him from it, and the Lord's not healing him, and the pastor told him, you don't have enough faith. And my husband actually said, then I will have no faith at all. I'm done. If it's all going to be tied to that, I'm done. I propose to you that you have many neighbors. You have many coworkers who've been taught that kind of false teaching from God's word, not in true context. And they've looked and said, well, I guess I'm not good enough. I guess I'm not faith-filled enough. Because I ask, and scripture says it very clearly, just ask whatever you want, and he'll give it to you. And I guess I'm not good enough, I'm not faith-filled enough, I'm not godly enough, I'm not holy enough. And I want to say to anybody who might have been taught that, you were taught in the wrong context. Because this context says, when you ask God for something, ask Jesus for something, it's connected to this vine. Let's go back to the vine picture for just a second. Watch this. Everything that you have, the picture. So everything that I am, look at this. All this connects to, you're the branches and you're the fruit. Okay, your life is the fruit. You don't do anything without that. So when you ask for something, you don't ask for yourself. You're not asking for your own selfish will. You're not asking for a new house. You're saying, Jesus, here I am. This is my fruit and I want to do it to the max. So I'm going to ask this of you. Help me be more kind. Help me be more considerate. Help me be more loving. None of it's about me. None of it's about what I want. It's about being a bright and awesome fruit for Jesus. It's the context of it. Let's illustrate it this way. If you were walking this afternoon, literally Jesus of Nazareth came to your neighborhood and was walking with you down the street, okay? And you know who he is. You know what he did for you. You know how much he sacrificed for you. Now, I just want to ask you, if he turned to you and said, what can I do to help you in your life? Would you say, well, Jesus, I've really been wanting that new car. You wouldn't even say that out loud. There's no way you'd say that out loud. Because you'd be like, I'm not asking one who gave his life for me. I'm not asking for something for me. I'm going to ask him, what can I do for you? Do you remember the mom who came to Jesus and said, you know, I got two boys and I really want one of them on the right and one of them on the left. And Jesus looked at her and said, you don't know what you're saying. You don't even know what you're saying, girl. And so when we pray and ask anything in Jesus' name, it aligns with what he desires. We're connected to the branch and to the root of God Almighty. It's not about us. So when this passage is used and abused, oh, so hard on me. So hard on me. Because the context of me asking for anything is me saying, oh, Jesus, what can I do to fulfill you? But even look how it's worded. Like, honestly, listen to the words. Ask whatever you wish, it'll be done for you. It honestly, that right there, if I read it just by itself, I know I'm older, so some of you won't remember this, but there was a song that went, I'm a genie in a bottle, baby. And that song, to me, is ask whatever you want and you'll get it. He's our genie in a bottle. It's just not what this text is saying. So I just want to clear that up. When you live the abundant life, it's about the fruit that you're producing for Jesus. It's nothing to do with you and your bank account and your stuff. The longer I live, I'm 65 this year, I've mentioned that to you before. When I think about my children and grandchildren, when Jane and I pray for them every day, when I think about their lives, I don't think about, oh, how could I leave each of them more to fight for? How could I leave a bigger financial mess for my family? That's not a prayer I pray. How can I leave something and produce fruit in such a way that they would want to follow that example someday? That's the question. This is to my Father's glory, the next sentence says. Whatever you ask, look at what Jesus' words are. This is to my Father's glory, not about you. That you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be his disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain, there it is again, my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain, abide in my love. Just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain. I mean, honestly, I've never seen it this way, but I've read this passage for years and I never saw the word remain this many times. And what Jesus is saying throughout this whole passage is, I want relationship with you. I want time with you. I want you to abide in me. And today, so many of us in this room, we need to abide in him. I'm just going to give you a couple of things from my week. I had two moments this week. I've been studying this. Pastor Greg touched on with me probably 3-4 weeks ago and said, hey, Dan, I want you to preach on this. Will be your text where I want you to share. So a couple weeks ago, I really started diving into the text. And I'm going to tell you, today is Sunday. I want to walk you through my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, how this ministered to me, okay, to me personally. One was a morning that I woke up, and it might have been Wednesday morning. I can't tell you exactly, but Wednesday morning I woke up. You wake up, your mind's on a lot of things, etc. And I just wasn't doing well mentally. I wasn't doing well. Things that bug me, a lot of stuff I'm working on. And I just felt like the Lord said, well, you can sit here and you can spend the rest of the night, it's 3:30 in the morning. You sit there and worry about all that. Or you can abide in the vine that is me. Literally, I, your preacher this morning, Wednesday morning early, 3:30, 4 o'clock, had to go, let me see if I can practice what I'm about to preach. And I'm guessing some of y'all's week included a time where you ran to worry, you ran to fret, you ran too busy. You just ran. And you did not abide. You did not ask the question, who am I connected to? What's my source of strength? And then the other one for me was literally yesterday, Saturday. It was more the morning hours. Jane and I had a very busy morning. And then I was doing something on my phone, and we got a daughter who's got a flooded basement, and I'm busy trying to help her deal with all that junk that goes with that. And I'm just going. And I do some different stuff with sports cards, and I was doing a lot of stuff. I had probably 50 or 60 things, I think, on my mind. And I was like jittery. I'm like, why am I so jittery? And the Lord just laid on my heart, because you're so busy. Your mind right now has 100 things in it. And I just felt like the Lord gave me an idea, and I did it. I literally did this yesterday morning. I'm talking about practicing and living out this scripture that I just read to you about Jesus saying, remain, remain. Let me say it 11 times. Remain, remain, abide, 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 abide. Well, I will, Jesus, but I got all this going on right now. And I literally, yesterday morning, I literally took my phone. And I went, you're not going to own me. You're not freaking going to own me. I took my phone. I walked into my bedroom. I laid it on the little dresser by the bed. And I walked away from it. And I went, I'm not doing this the rest of the day. This is ridiculous. And I'll just say this. I know y'all do it too because I see you at the restaurants. I know y'all do it too because I saw you driving. I'm going to tell the police. I know y'all do it too because it's available and it's easy and it keeps me connected. I propose to who? For me, it keeps me connected to all the stuff I got going on. And sometimes I need to connect to the place where God says, come to me to abide. Hey, do y'all realize in Do y'all realize it's 2026? And I think Jesus put some of these passages in Scripture more for us than even the people he was standing around. I think he probably thought, well, what will happen when we get techno geeks on this world? I'm pondering because I'm thinking about some elementary age kids I saw on their phones this week. I mean, I didn't start this until I was 50s. It's all these kids know. It's their connecting point to life. And older people like me say, put those phones down. I don't put mine down. If I was an elementary age kid, I'd want one. The vine of this world is connected to your kids 24/7. Did you hear me? The vine of this world is connected to your kids 24/7. And Jesus said to all of us, you better know where you really do need to abide. Because if you don't, Dan Seaborn, life's going to get out of whack for you. You're going to get anxious. Because you're going to have so much going on. You're going to have so many people reaching out to you. Because people can reach out to me all the time. Like all the time. And I'm one who responds pretty quick. If I don't respond to my kids' texts within 10 minutes, they're calling going, Dad, you okay? Like, I'm on hole 3. Let me finish. I'm getting a bogey. Give me a second. So I want to give you 5 little thoughts to carry with you today from this passage. Here's the first one. It's very simple. Abiding is being connected to Christ so he can use you to produce fruit. Like abiding is not you being connected to what this world offers. Abiding is you being connected to Jesus Christ. I mean, at the end of my life, it will be my fruit that counts. I told you there was another verse in here along with that one I shared with you that's confusing. People who aren't strong in the faith or people of the world read this sentence. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's what Jesus said. He said to his disciples, apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, that makes no sense. I can go to the store. I can play a sport. I can hang out with my friends. What do you mean, Jesus, apart from you, I can do nothing? I can do things. We forgot that we're actually totally dependent on him. Like for your next breath, you are depending on him. We do it all the time, so we take it for granted, but some of you lost someone in your family this week and you're going, oh my word, that connects so deep with me because they're gone. We are totally dependent. I'm totally dependent on God. My health, if he didn't allow me to have the health I have, I couldn't have driven over here and spoken today. Could be gone just like that. I'm totally dependent on him. And we start thinking, no, I got this. I got this, and I got some security over here. I got stuff over here. God, I'm codependent on you. Like, I like you being my codependent person, but I'm not completely dependent. Actually, you are completely dependent. And these aren't my words. I'm saying this. Jesus said, apart from me, nothing. You don't even have life. And the other obvious meaning of the verse is, at the end of your life, what you did for me, the fruit, as we saw in the picture, the fruit that you have for me, that's what matters. We are completely dependent upon God, and this reminds us, then let's make sure we're abiding in him. Number 2, abide does not say alone, it says relationship and partnership. I want to speak to maybe 10 of you, 50 of you, some of you online. I want to speak to you for a moment. There's somebody in here, you feel totally alone. You don't feel wanted. You hurt inside. You don't know where to go with it. And you don't feel like anybody cares. So I'm triggered by that because of my childhood. I've shared with you before, but I'll at least say it again, put it in context of why this one ministers to me a lot. Because, you know, my father, when I was really little, I was probably 5 or 6. He was upset at me. He was in the bedroom talking to mom, and I overheard him say, "I just wish," my name is Danny. He said, "I just wish Danny would have never been born." And I was 5 or 6. I could not get that out of my head. What I heard was, unwanted. I've sought good counsel. I've trusted that the Lord. I'm past it. But it's still there. Every now and then, like after I preach like this on a Sunday, if I go walk on Sunday afternoon by myself or whatever, the enemy would love to say to me, "You're alone. Oh yeah, sure, you got up there and spoke to all those people this morning, but you're alone. You got no chance. You're not wanted." Somebody in here feels that way today. Jesus blew that out of the water here. The whole passage, he's saying, "I want relationship and partnership with you. You are never alone." So you need to remember that. You need to tuck that into your mind so when the enemy comes and tells you you're alone, you go, He said, "Remain, remain, remain, abide, 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 abide." He said it 11 times. You know what? He knew how a lot of those disciples he was walking along with were going to finish their life. I think he was saying to them, "Boys, this is probably going to come back to you somewhere along the way. You're going to need to remember, I'm with you." So today, hey, single mom in here, you are not alone. Single dad in here, you are not alone. Older person in here, the kids aren't coming to visit you much anymore. Don't hear from them. You're 80. You are not alone. Teenager that doesn't get the likes and nobody really reaches out to you, you are not alone. I'm not making this up. I just read the passage that says, remain in him. So stinking good. Number 3. As often as is needed, intentionally shift your focus off your circumstances and onto the Lord. This is a physical, mental, even emotional thing you can do. I physically walked my phone over and laid it down and went, "No, I shifted." You're going to need to shift some things every now and then in your life. If you keep doing the same old, don't be surprised if you feel the same old. So when you shift, you do something different. I want you to intentionally look at your calendar and go, busy, 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 busy. I got to shift something. I got to get something off. You say, "But Dan, I'm so important." Red flag. If your mind today is going, "But I'm so important." I've known some really important people who are now dead. They aren't doing a lot. Don't get caught up in yourself. You ain't all that. You're just a human being who is dependent on God, trying to make your difference in this world, and then your time will pass. You young men who were standing up here this morning, that sounds like a long way away. Hopefully and prayerfully it is, but doggone it, it gets here pretty quick. And I challenge you to make sure your focus is on the Lord, and when it shifts off, run back and get it there. Number 4, we draw strength through abiding. Can y'all show the picture again? Can we show the picture again? Do y'all know these grapes here, okay? And that's you, that's your fruit. Okay, these grapes in the picture are you and your fruit. I want you to see this. The strength of those grapes, the size of those grapes, the beauty of those grapes does not come from the water that's hitting them that falls out of the sky, etc. It comes from down in here, this root. It comes up through this tree, out thy vine, and produces fruit in you. You aren't the source of strength. This is the source of strength. Pretty amazing. Because when we go out to the grapevines, we don't go, look at that root. No, we look, oh, look at that fruit. But the fruit came from the root. Don't you forget where you're rooted. Don't you forget it's not about you. And boy, in our culture, even in the Christian church, you know what we like? Pretty fruit. Look how big my fruit is. Look how beautiful it is. Come buy my fruit. And Jesus says, no, you're not the source. Come to me, I'm the source. Look at your life and go, where do I find my strength? Let me make sure it's coming from Christ. And then number five, abiding will involve changing your behavior going forward. I want to pause here a minute. The team's going to come out. We're going to have a closing song in just a minute. But before we do that, as they're coming out, if you guys don't mind, I mean, can we leave the screen up here a second? Is that okay? Because I know, can we leave it here? Do you mind going over here to the side? Good. Because I want, at the end of the message here, I want y'all to stick that picture of the vine, not yet, but I want you to put the picture of the vine up. But I want to show you this. This week, the preacher who is doing this sermon for you, can we go back to the point just a second? Sorry. The preacher who is doing the sermon right now with you, if I had not read this passage, I would not have handled two things that came to my life this week the way I did. And I want you to experience that. I want you to leave here and go, okay, something's going to be a little different. I'm going to deal with that. That's why we come together like this, is to have the Lord speak to us and go, I'm going to do that. Maybe for you it's defining better your source of strength. Maybe for you it's a shift and you lay the phone down. I don't know. It's not just phone. There's so many things that can be distracting. But I want you to realize that today you need to abide in Him. I'm thinking of the mom who is home with crazy busy with three kids and changing diapers and all this stuff. And you go, I don't have time to abide. I get it. Well, I don't get it. Thank God I don't get your life, because that is one tiring life. But He says, just grab a moment with me. Grab a few seconds with me. I was talking to a 20-year-old young man, and he said, Dan, you know what I've been doing? I'm like, well, what'd you mean? He said, I arrive at work probably, you know, sometimes 5-3 minutes early. And he said, I'll sit in my car and read my Bible. He said, I got a Bible on my phone. I'll read it for like 3 to 5 minutes. I looked at him, I said, how old are you in? 20. I said, wow, what a great habit, dude. He said, well, I just find it gives me strength. That's what Jesus is saying. Just abide with me, and I'll be your strength. And so I'm hoping there will be something going forward that you go, I'm going to change that a little bit. Now, would you throw that picture of the vine up a minute? I want you just to finish this morning looking at that going, what's my fruit look like? Are my branches dead? Do they need to be cut off somewhere in my life? Look at all of it. The vine that goes out to it is Jesus. The source of strength is God Almighty. Perfect little illustration. And I pray today you would leave a little more committed to following the example that Christ asked us to follow, is recognizing He said, I'm the vine. Don't miss that. Jesus said, I am the vine. You go and be fruitful for Him. We're going to pause a moment. I'm going to ask you just to have silent prayer, literally silent prayer. Pastor Greg will come out this morning. He'll close after we sing a couple songs. In just a moment, Kenzie's going to sing. But before she does, I want us to have a moment of prayer, and you ask the Lord to show you where you need to make a shift to recognize Him as the vine. In the silence, in the stillness, ask Him to speak to you no matter your age. And then, Mackenzie, if you would just begin to sing when you think it's appropriate.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.